Hi everyone, I'm Andy.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome back to another episode of your favorite book club and media podcast, Marianne and Wanda.
Indeed. Hey, happy post-Christmas. How was yours?
It was good. We already talked in the last episode that we got to meet up for brunch, but since then, we had a nice, kind of lazy Christmas morning. We made breakfast crunch wraps and cinnamon rolls and mimosas.
Nice. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, we made all of the sausage, eggs, cheese, hash browns, and all that to go in the crunch wraps, and those were really good. But then we also made cinnamon rolls because I figured Rosie would like those, but she corrected me and said they are not called cinnamon rolls. They are called breakfast cupcakes. And that was the only thing she would refer to them as. And I would ask her, like, do you want a cinnamon roll? No, no, no. You want a breakfast cupcake? Yes, yes.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I love that.
Yeah. So, like, whatever. Yeah, they can be breakfast cupcakes.
Incredible.
Yep. She had a good Christmas. She got a slide, which has been a big hit. And then she got a fort also. So.
Oh, wow.
It's like a teepee canvas tent.
Oh, for like inside?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it's in the corner of her room. It's just like a reading tent or whatever. Yeah. But she's been playing in there. It's pretty nice. It's much bigger than I thought it would be, but she keeps calling it a fort.
I love that. Yeah. I love Rosie. She's so funny.
So yeah, she got lots of little stuffed animals and cars and all that, and they each take a turn going down the slide.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then she goes down. She went down on her stomach and just looked like she was diving into a pool.
That's so cute.
Yep.
I love her.
Yep. The other thing she got that I thought that was pretty cool, there's these little things that are magnet tiles. I don't know if you've seen them, but they kind of stack together almost in a way that you would play with Legos, except all the sides have magnets on them. So you can, like, build the, I don't know, the pictures on it is like you can build a castle or build a mall or build whatever out of it. So she likes putting those all together too.
No, I haven't heard of those.
They're mostly for kids that are a little bit older, but she played with them with some of her cousins one time, and so she already knew what they were.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and they showed her how it worked. And
yeah, mostly she's just been stacking them all into a tower, but eventually you can make a whole bunch of stuff with them.
She'll figure it out, yeah.
Yeah. How was Christmas with your fam?
It's always a good time. You know how it goes. Little Lou, my nephew, he was a hoot as always. He's kind of sings along to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Like, he gets the beats right, like the twinkle, like the beat of it. He can't, like, obviously say the words yet. He's still not really talking, but he's, yeah, just so cute to, like, follow him around as he just runs around and chases after the cat. He loves my mom's cat, Gus.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he sees him, he goes, gaga, which is a lot of fun for me. But it was good. Yeah, I got some good presents myself. Like, my mom got me a second bowl for my stand mixer. And I got back last night and I was unpacking my car and I pulled out a box that I thought was that bowl. And when I opened it, I realized that I stole one of my Aunt Nan's presents.
Oh, what?
And just took it back with me. So I have to send that back to her. But it was a good time. Yeah, we got to see everybody and had a good time.
Yeah.
We played a new bird game that I really like. It's called Wingspan, which is, it's won a ton of awards. It came out, I think, last year, but it's a lot of fun. Highly recommend for anyone who likes birds or games.
And if you like birds and games, you're in for a real treat.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yep. So I got back, yeah, last night. And then today, I'm here. I'm ready.
So this week we watched a movie that we're both a little bit sure, I think, in the beginning that we'd seen it. But then as we were watching it, we were like, maybe we haven't seen this, actually. But that would be the Gary Marshall classic New Year's Eve from 2011.
Yeah, I think you might have gone to see it, Andy, and I just didn't go with you.
If I did go to see it in the theater when it came out, I haven't seen it since then. So it seemed familiar only because of Zac Efron's character. I didn't remember anybody else from the movie being in here. But then when I saw the Zac Efron character, I was like, maybe I have seen this before because his storyline seemed familiar, but I forgot about all the rest of it. So I think I've seen it, but I didn't remember any of it.
I can tell you with certainty that I've never seen it because of Zac Efron's character too, and because when Jon Bon Jovi came on the screen, I was like, what? I can't be seeing this, right? Jon Bon Jovi? So I can say definitively I've not seen it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is Jon Bon Jovi's only movie, because I didn't think of him as an actor. I mean, maybe he has been, but I don't think I've seen any other ones he's been in, if so.
Since the 1990s, he's been in things like Moonlight and Valentino, The Leading Man, Little City, Homegrown, Pay It Forward, Sex and the City, 30 Rock, The West Wing. So he has, in fact, done some stuff, just nothing, I don't know, super exciting.
I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this was I think some people considered it a continuation of Valentine's Day, but they weren't actually connected. Like, nobody from that story was crossed over into New Year's Eve.
No, and I think it's more just that it's a similar type of story.
Yeah.
More than any of the storylines would have continued.
Yeah.
But they also say that about Mother's Day. So it's the unofficial rom-com trilogy that they say from Gary Marshall. He did all three of them.
I don't think I've seen Mother's Day.
Yeah, I've never seen Mother's Day, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that fits in, but it was written by Catherine Fugate, I think is how you say her name. And she wrote Valentine's Day and also worked on like The Prince and Me and Xena Warrior Princess,
mm-hmm.
which you might know. So, and then, yeah, produced by Gary Marshall and Mike Kars and Wayne Allen Price, who are not that excited.
No offense.
Well, I just like, yeah, I like looked it up and was like, whatever, producers. But the music is by John Debney, who's not a name I know, but I was looking at his credits on Wikipedia and he worked on the music for like Cats and Dogs, Bruce Almighty, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Elf, The Scorpion King, The Princess Diaries. So he's like all over the place.
Yeah, I recognize his name from Elf.
You guys always like that movie a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
Well, you know more than I do. And then the cinematography was by Charles Minsky, who's just notable because he also worked with Gary Marshall on Pretty Women, The Princess Diaries 2, and Mother's Day, among others.
Gotcha. So the opening weekend, it was the number one movie in the box office with $13 million domestically. That seems very low, $13 million. Is that right?
That's right. But this is also 2011. So like, and it wasn't. Like, I feel like a lot of the super huge box office openings are, like, superhero movies and, like, big movies like that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any other big Christmas movies or something that year that would have taken the glory away from this one. Because that seems really low to me. But then again, like you said, in 2011, maybe that was normal? I don't know.
Yeah. And, it still opened number one that weekend. So,
yeah.
Even if there were other Christmas movies, this still was a huge hit, I guess.
I don't know. $13 million seems low to me, considering all of the United States. So then, total box office was $142 million, and it had a budget of $56 million. That seems pretty high, but also there were so many all-star cast members. Plus, like, I assume they shot a lot of this in New York. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was expensive, also. So it seems high, but it seems right.
Yeah, just by all the big names that are in it.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw this too, but it only scored 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. But had an audience score of 45%. I thought that I don't know if I've ever seen one that low before.
Yeah, people did not like it. A couple of quotes from movie reviewers, like Claudia Winkleman said that she'd found the worst film of all time, and it was called New Year's Eve. Out. And Roger Ebert said that the New Year's Eve is a dreary plod through the sands of time until finally the last grain has trickled through the hourglass of cinematic sludge. How is it possible to assemble more than 24 stars in a movie and find nothing interesting for any of them to do?
Ouch.
Yeah, it's a scathing review. And honestly, I kind of agree with it.
Really? I thought it was pretty good.
I didn't. I thought this movie was horrible.
Did you think this one was better than Valentine's Day?
No, I like Valentine's Day. I did not like this one.
I think they're about the same. I mean, like, yeah, they have the same type of storyline where it's like lots of different stories that cross over. And yeah, but I didn't think this one was any worse or better really than Valentine's Day.
Well, I thought the storylines and like the dialogue was just a lot worse in this one.
Some of the storylines, I agree, I think weren't really that interesting, but
yeah,
that's okay. So this one, like we said, does have a lot of really famous people in it. I don't know that we should really list out all of them.
No, I just wanted to have those for us. I started listing them with their character names, and then I was like, this means nothing to me. I don't know any of their names, so, like, referring to them as Tess Byrne isn't gonna...
Yeah.
It's Jessica Biel's character, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was one of my main points about this kind of movie, where it has so many intertwining storylines. I don't really feel like it's super necessary for me to remember all of their names in the movie, because, like, Halle Berry's character, I knew she was a nurse. I couldn't remember what her name was, but every time she came on screen, I just thought Halle Berry, not Nurse Amy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make me upset that I couldn't remember all of their names.
Yeah, and it helps that, like, because of the way the story is, we have all these individual units, and there's not, like, a lot of overlap for a lot of the movie, like, even in characters talking about other characters. So it's, like, easy to just forget that they all have names, because we don't need to, like, refer to Robert De Niro's character when like Seth Meyers is on the screen, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I cared about precisely three of the actors in this, and I imagine that at least two of them you'll also have been excited for, which includes Hector Elizondo's big reveal in the movie.
I made note of his specifically. I'll just go ahead and say it. When they were talking about, like, we've got to call in Kaminsky, we got to call in the big guns, I was like, oh, because I didn't remember anything about the movie. I was like, oh, man, who's it going to be? And then Hector Elizondo walks out, and I'm like, ah!
Yeah, we love to see it. I love him. I love his arc that he's, like, he was, I think, that scene of him when he's, like, acting like he's going to walk away from repairing it. That was one of, like, my only, I guess, one of the few scenes that I actually liked, just because he's so funny and he played this character very well.
Yeah, I was I was looking up some behind the scenes stuff about the movie, and I don't know 100% if this is true, but did you notice that when Kaminsky, who is Hector Elizondo, arrives, there's a message over the radio that announces the eagle has landed, which is code phrase that Elizondo uses in Princess Diaries when he refers to Julie Andrews' character, Queen Clarice.
No, I didn't notice that.
The eagle has landed.
I love that. That's a good callback. Yeah. I also cared about Kelly Elwes. Is that how you say him?
Carrie.
You recognize that?
Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Carrie El. I don't know. I would say Elwes.
Elwes? He's, you recognize him?
Yeah. He's the Man in Black.
What?
He's the Man in Black.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard Men in Black, and I was like, no, he's not in that movie.
No. The Man in Black.
Yes. And then, of course, Penny Marshall makes her her little cameo as well. So, mm-hmm. And we love to see her.
Yeah. I also saw in my trivia fact that this was the 8th film where Carrie Elwes played a doctor.
Huh. That's quite a few.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the only thing I really know him from is from Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much of his movies that happened after that time frame. But yeah, supposedly this was his 8th movie of playing a doctor.
Oh, wow. There's just something about him that, you know, you just got it, like, he seems like he knows things.
Yeah.
He seems wise.
Did you have a favorite character from the movie other than Hector Elizondo? Other than
Hector? I don't know, man. I guess the one that was most interesting to watch for me was, I mean, not because of Zac Efron, but the lady who he was taking around who played her. I liked her just because...
Michelle Pfeiffer, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Michelle Pfeiffer. He was just, like, trying to get her life back and had quit her job and seemed to have, like, I had a lot of hope for her in the future.
Yeah. She was probably one of my least favorite characters.
Well, what was your favorite?
Sofia Vergara.
Oh.
The one who plays the chef's sous chef.
Yeah.
I can't remember what her name is in the movie, but like I said, it didn't bother me that I couldn't remember. I just thought her character was kind of sassy and spicy.
Ava.
Yeah, Ava. There we go. And I thought she was interesting.
Yeah, that's fair.
I also really like Hilary Swank's character.
Yeah, and I liked that her storyline was, yeah, like her dad died of cancer, you know, a minute after she got back, but she still got to be there for his last minute.
Yeah.
That was nice, I guess.
Can we give a quick recap of, or like your summary that you wrote?
It's just like an ensemble cast of intertwining stories that lock together as we sort of count down to midnight. And it stars a lot of the biggest celebs at the time, as we've mentioned. And we see snippets of many relationships from a mom and her teenage daughter who wants a little freedom, to a singer trying to win back the love of his life, a chef providing dinner for the big Ahern Records masquerade ball, and a young man just trying to get back to the city before midnight, among others. Like, how will they all end? How will they all intertwine?
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing about the movie, is that all of their storylines overlap at some point. The one intertwining story that left me guessing was, and I don't know how to say his last name properly, Josh Duhamel, something like that. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, in my mind I say Josh Duhamel, but I don't know if that's right.
I've always said Duhamel, but that doesn't seem like that's enough syllables.
No, I think you're right. Duhamel.
Duhamel? Okay. Anyway, yeah. His storyline, where like you're not sure which character he's trying to meet up with that he met last New Year's Eve, whatever. Like, I think I missed in the beginning when Sarah Jessica Parker's character said, like, oh, it was last New Year's Eve. She just mentioned it kind of briefly when she was at the Rockettes fitting room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I missed who had said that, because I knew somebody said it, but I couldn't figure out until right at the end if he was supposed to be meeting Hilary Swank's character or Sarah Jessica Parker's character. But then when Hilary Swank and Josh crossed paths and they ran in opposite directions, I was like, oh man, it must not be her, because I thought they were the ones who were going to meet up.
Yeah, that was a nice little framed shot of them like stopping to look at the clock and then running past each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed early on that that was who he must have been talking about, but I
don't know, for whatever reason, I guess I figured since Sarah Jessica Parker's character was so set on having a night in and not even talking about going out to see if the guy remembers, meet me here next year at New Year's Eve, whatever. I guess I mm-hmm. thought that she wasn't the one he was going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought
that was a nice one.
Yeah, I thought his character of keeping me guessing at the end was fun.
Yeah. It was nice that he got a ride back in an RV with a family. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, with Mia Thermopolis's stepdad.
Yeah.
What was your favorite storyline?
Yeah, my favorite storyline was Michelle Pfeiffer's, and as she like quit her job and like had her big coming to turn her life around moment.
Gosh, I didn't mean that as like asking the same question twice. I only say that because my favorite storyline out of all of them were the two women who were having a race to have the baby first. But
oh yeah,
I liked Sofia Vergara's character the best out of all of them, even though she was in a separate timeline from the maternity ward characters.
Oh. Yeah, it's funny. How do you feel about the whole competing to have the baby first for $25,000 or whatever? Would you ever engage in that?
I've heard about that before, but I never knew if that was real. And mm-hmm. it's only in like New York City hospitals, or if it's across the country. I don't know. But also when they said, oh, born at 12:05 or 12:04 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I figured there would have been one born like right at midnight, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, surely. Right. And in all of New York,
right.
It's like, surely these aren't the only two people having a baby.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. That would be a lot of pressure.
Oh yeah. No kidding. Also funny that, they were trying to schedule the C-section to start at midnight, as if that wouldn't mean that they would like, it would be like 12:15 or something. There'd be so many kids that would have been born between those two.
Yeah. And they just nonchalantly like, oh, we were thinking maybe you could do it tonight at midnight. And she's mm-hmm. like, I am not going to help you win any money like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a request from your doctor.
Yeah.
For your doctor, I guess.
I liked that there was a lot of characters from the Valentine's Day movie that were recycled for this movie. But I'm also glad that Ashton Kutcher did not have the main role in, or the main storyline in New Year's Eve like he did in Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the elevator storyline was probably my least favorite. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, very boring. And I never really liked Lea Michele that much. Or her singing, like, never been super impressed, I guess. So, I just wasn't invested at all. Also, Ashton Kutcher's look in this movie, I didn't really like. Him with long hair like that is not my favorite for him.
Yeah. I don't really know Lea Michele from anything. Was she in Glee?
Yeah, she was in Glee.
Okay.
I thought there was a lot of hype around her.
Yeah, I think I remember the name from that, but I also never watched Glee. But yeah, I thought her character was kind of boring too.
Yeah, like, okay, who cares?
I also saw in the trivia notes that Halle Berry was originally supposed to play Katherine Heigl's character, the chef.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. But she was going through like a custody battle or something with her ex-spouse. And so she had to drop out of the movie. But then once all of her custody stuff was finished up, they recast her in another role in the same movie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's fun. I liked Katherine Heigl. I like her a lot as an actress. I just thought that she deserved better than the singer, Jon Bon Jovi's character.
Yeah, I get the aspect of like not wanting to be on the road and just be in a tour bus all the time while your husband or spouse or partner or whatever is out there like living the dream. Just feel mm-hmm. like you're stuck traveling. So I get that she wanted to focus on her work. But also he wouldn't want to have to give up touring just to like stay in one place for all of his life so that she could be a chef. So it just kind of seemed like both of them weren't compatible.
Yeah, and like I guess that it was supposed to be like this huge show, like huge sign or whatever, that he like dropped out of his big performance and came back just to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And let Lea Michele sing into the new year. But I guess that, yeah, to me, I thought she deserved better than him. And also, though, there's got to surely be a compromise between touring constantly and being in one place for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely.
Yeah, I would think.
But I'm also not a musician, so.
Yeah. My only other question about the movie as a whole is, would you let your 15-year-old child loose on New Year's Eve in Times Square?
I don't know, man. Times Square seems
big.
Big. And a lot of people. Very easy for someone to just kind of disappear for a little bit.
Yeah, or forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think no. But, yeah, no. Just no. Especially since she didn't, when she, like, ran away from her, she wasn't with her friends yet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if they had met her at like the train station or bus stop, or I think she got on a train,
mm-hmm.
that might be a little better because then you're at least with a group. Also today though, there's so much tracking you can do with a cell phone. Like, I mean, I guess it's one thing if she was abducted and her cell phone was left behind, but like you can do Life 360 or other kind of apps to track somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it would be not as bad now considering the technology upgrades, but then again, there's so many people in Times Square for New Year's Eve, maybe reception would not be that good.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That would be a tough decision.
Yeah.
But also that made me think of how did our parents let us go downtown in Nashville for New Year's Eve?
I was thinking about that too. Wasn't that our senior year? Weren't we like almost 18?
I can't remember if it was our junior or senior year. Because our friends, well, my friends that we went with who drove, they were a year older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still around. Like hadn't, well, maybe they were back home from college.
Well, it, yeah, it like was New Year's Eve, yeah. You know, so it was.
I can't remember. I don't know. We might have been seniors. But either way, still, being around so many drunk people on New Year's Eve in the middle of downtown Nashville where we didn't know anybody, all to see the fray.
Yeah.
I guess we were good at convincing our parents to let us go.
Yeah. I mean, we were responsible.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. But that's what my parents always said. Like, I'm not worried about you driving. I'm worried about other people around you driving. Like, if there's a lot of people drinking and driving.
Yeah, which is common on New Year's Eve, actually. Right, yeah. So how did our parents let us do that?
I don't know. That's what made me think about this one. It was like the dilemma of letting the 15-year-old child loose in downtown Times Square.
No, I was thinking about that because you remember that's when that weird older guy like kissed me at midnight?
On the head, right?
Yeah, it was like on my cheek or something. Thank God. But he like looked at me and he was like, well, I would ask for a kiss, but I don't want to get in trouble. And then he did it anyway.
Creep.
Yeah, I did not like that.
I remember there was a guy, probably college age, crowd surfing. And he was really drunk. And people dropped him basically on my back.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep, but we did get great seats, or not seats, but a great area to view the fray. So worth it.
Yeah, worth it. We were like in the very front. It was best time ever.
Yeah. Remember we went to Joe's Crab Shack and then we went out to find a spot to stand and there was like nobody downtown.
Yeah, because we thought it was going to be like a mad rush. And so we like, we got to get there super early.
Yeah. Joke's on us, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it still worked out. Whatever.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
All right. Well, I think that's all my notes from the movie. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What should be our scale for rating this movie? Ball drops?
Ball drops, yeah.
Okay. I'll let you go first. How many ball drops?
Yeah, out of 5 New Year's Eve ball drops, I would give this like maybe a 1.
Oh, wow.
I was not captivated by it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I was just not into it this time.
I think because there were so many overlapping storylines, it for me kept my interest enough because I was like, oh, which character is Josh Duhamel's character going to run to? And like, I don't know, just left me hanging for a little bit as it kept jumping around all the storylines. So I think I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Decent for me. I can't say it was my favorite Gary Marshall movie, but it's okay.
No. It was probably my least favorite, I would say.
Yeah. Maybe we ought to watch Mother's Day and see if that one's anything to write home about.
All right. Yeah. We'll add it to our Mother's Day.
Yeah. I didn't even know that one existed.
I remember when that one came out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so our book for January is Ghosted by Rosie Walsh. I started it last night.
How is it so far?
I'm only like 10 or 15 pages in, so it's too soon to tell.
Okay.
But I did start it.
All right. That's exciting.
Yep.
Yeah, and then next week we're going to do our short story, which is Serious Women from the Southern Lady Code by Helen Ellis.
Yeah, that one should be good too.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at marianneandwandapodcast@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.